8 is where we're going to be this morning. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14 is where we're going to start. We've been looking at, since Mother's Day, a series titled Homework, Working Toward a Godly Home. Homework, Working Toward a Godly Home. So we'll finish that up today as we take a look at the Father's Day. Okay, the Father's Day, Romans chapter 8. And we'll start with verse 14 there in just a moment. One of the greatest revelations of the New Testament is that when you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, you are born spiritually into the family of God, and God becomes your heavenly Father. And so that was unheard of back in the Old Testament. You didn't reference God in that way. And so you said Father Abraham, or, you know, those type of references that you used. And so, but now Jesus has taught, you know, when you pray, he said, pray our Father, which art in heaven. And so it's that relationship that you have with God as a child and a father that is very unique. No other religion in the world offers this type of relationship but Christianity. And so, nor can they, because it only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, I think he's got it up there. Hold on, give him a minute here. One more. There you go. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way to God the Father without the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the other religions out there cannot offer up a relationship with God the Father, because it only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of what you may hear out there, it's important to note that God is not the father of everyone. And you'll hear that God is the creator of all. Yes, he is. But he's not the father of all, because Galatians tells us this. Galatians says that, for ye are all the children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's where you become a child of God, only with your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to be a child of God, you have a father. And that father is God himself in the very heavens of heaven, and created the universe all out of nothing. That is who you have a relationship with. God is your heavenly Father. Only those who know Christ as Savior are born into the family of God. And if you're a child of God, regardless of what kind of earthly father that you may have or have had, what I want us to do, because not everyone, as they reflect on Father's Day, is it a pleasant experience. They didn't grow up that way, that some of us have. And our heart goes out to you as well. So what I want to focus your attention on is our Heavenly Father this morning. Our Heavenly Father. When you begin to understand the kind of Father that God is to you, I believe that you'll love Him with all of your heart and trust Him more with your life in every part of your life. Now back up to those verses of Scripture there in Romans chapter 8. And beginning with verse 14. I've got to get over here. Here we go. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received, notice it says, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And it could be together with him as well. And so let's take a look here. What kind of father do you have? Well, first of all, your Heavenly Father loves you. That's the first point. Your Heavenly Father loves you above anything and everything in this world. God, the Father, if you're His child, He loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, who does that? That's God. God loves you so that you would not perish, but be given everlasting life. That's God your Father loves you. Fathers have abused and misused their kids so that some of them don't know what true parental love is like. But when you look at the love that our Father has, our Heavenly Father has for His children, we see the very real thing. Look at verse 15 again. He says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." God allows us the privilege to be able to call Him Abba, Father. That the word Abba there means dearest one is what it means. And so sweet one is what it means. You know, the best one that's there. The dearest of Father. Abba, Father. Not only that, verse 16 says that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God as well. And the Spirit has given us testimony that God is your Father. And verse 16 almost appears as though He has to talk us into that because it seems almost too unreal or almost impossible for God to be our Father, and we can have that kind of relationship with God Himself. But this is what the Spirit does in our lives as well, that you are a child of God. You are born again. And so God is your Father, and you're joint heirs. Joint heirs with God. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is great news, the fact that God loves you, and you can have that personal, close relationship with you. What kind of love does your Heavenly Father give His children? First of all, He loves with a complete love. Complete love. His love is unconditional. It's not a, well, if you do this, I'll love you. Well, if you would get better grades, I'll love you. Well, if you'll do, you know, and you give me this, and then I'll give you that. It's not a trade-off type of thing at all. You don't work for it. It's a gift that He gives to you. It is unconditional because that's who He is. When He loves, He backs the truck up and He unloads it all right on you the very moment that you trust Jesus Christ as Savior. God's love is unconditional. He did not wait to send Jesus to die on the cross so that we would clean up our lives. When Jesus died for us, we were still miserable sinners. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth," or demonstrates, shows us His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, who does that? God does that. He gave us His Son while we were still sinners, before we ever come to be His child. Know this, that throughout eternity past, even now, and beyond an eternity present that's way out there in the future as well, God loves you. It does not change. It will not end. True love does not have, true love is not earned. It's not earned. If it did, God would have stopped loving us a long time ago. His love is not based on my performance, but rather in His Son and what He has done. When I get up in the morning, I can look back at yesterday and say, oh, I can't believe I've done those things. I wonder if God still loves me today, you know, because it wasn't nice, you know, to so-and-so. And I just wonder, does He still love me? You know what the answer is? Yes. Yes, again and again and again, because this verse tells us that while I was still sinful, God loved me, and He demonstrated that love. And so there's no, you can't sin again to make God unlove you, because He said, "I knew what you were before you ever came to me. I knew what I was getting, and I poured out my love for you. Even though you were in that mess. Now that I'm His child, how much more of a close relationship that He has." He says, "Is it even possible now to kick you out of my family? Is it ever possible now that you're my child? You see, for me not to love you? Impossible," is what He's saying here. It is an unconditional love. Unconditional means I love you, period. That's it. Not I love you if you straighten up. I'll love you if you forgive that person. No, His love is never in question when it comes to God's love for you. because He loves you. God loves us just as much on our bad days as He does on our best days, because His love is anchored in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. He's taken our sin debt upon Himself. And so God loves you across the board, and it has nothing to do with your behavior. Great, I can do what I want. Hold on. You can. You may not like it. He loves you unconditionally because He loves with a charitable love. It's a charitable love. You see, it's not something that He has to buy. It's not something that you have to earn. You see, it's a charitable love. He just simply loves you because He loves you. And He gives you all that He has. True love is always willing to pay the price. It never counts the cost. I'll cover it. I've got it. I'll do it. Look at the price that Jesus paid. Too many don't appreciate the price of Calvary, where our sin penalty was judged. But that's God demonstrating His love for you and I. When we were hopeless and sinful, God loved us so much, He gave His only begotten Son. How many of you have children? How many of you would say, hey, I will give my son for so-and-so? You know, we might, the Bible says, you know, for somebody that's decent, somebody that's being persecuted, and somebody that's lived a good life, even then that's kind of a stretch, you know. But what about the vilest, sinful, you know, just terrible person that you could ever think of, and say, I will give my son for him? That's what God did for us. That's what God did for us. God gave His best for our worst. That's unconditional. Unconditional. It's charitable. That's a gift that God has. A gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. The love the Father has for you is a giving love. Some dads, you know, they wonder, well, what's in it for me? What are you going to do for me if I do this? If I give you that? But your Heavenly Father wants His children to know that and experience His love that He has for them. So He gives it, and He gives it freely day after day after day. You never should wonder, does God really love me? Because He does. He's demonstrated that through giving of His Son, the Lord Jesus. And so you say, well, okay, then that's fine. And so God will always love me regardless of what I do, so I can do whatever I want. Well, His love is also a correcting love as well. yeah, that's where we get into. Some people believe if you love them, you've got to accept anything they want to do. That's not love. That's not love. God's love is a love that disciplines. And so the writer of Hebrews said this, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. You know why God disciplines us? You know why God spanks us? And that's what the word chasteneth means. It means that God took you or He will take you out behind the woodshed and He'll let you have it. But why? Because it's something you need to learn. It's something that you need to get rid of your life, in your life. And so just as your parents, you know, and they reach up, you know, the little child reaches up on the stove, you know, to grab the pan and the hot burner's right there, you know. And so you smack them. Don't do that. Oh, that's being mean, isn't it? Let them experience it for themselves. Well, what kind of parent would do that? And so this is what God does. God says, I need to correct you. Why? Because I love you. This is harmful for you. You need to stay away from this. You need to come away, and you need to do this over here. And so He guides us and directs us through, disciplines us, not to be mean, not that He's angry with us, but it's because He loves us. It's for our own good, to keep us from further trouble down the pike. Some boys were around a campfire, and they were discussing the purpose that God has in things. You ever wonder about that? Why did God make the bumblebee? You know, why is there a ladybug? You know, why are these, you know, why is there clouds? Why is there rain? And so why do we have, you know, this and that? Why do we have, and one little boy, you know, finally looked at the counselor, and he says, well, I got one. Why did He make poison ivy? I mean, what did He make poison ivy for? And the counselor said, I don't know, poison ivy. I don't know. And so one of the little boys said, oh, I know. He says, because God wants us to know there are certain things we ought to keep our cotton picket hands off of. chastisement, you see. And so stay away from that because it's going to itch and you'll scratch. And you know how poison ivy can be, that and chiggers. Well, I don't know which one is worse, but they're both pretty bad. And so love does not tolerate wrong. And so God's going to correct you. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It means that he does love you. It's proof that he cares about you and he loves you. That's why he disciplines us. Somebody said that a good dad is like a turtle. He's hard on the outside and soft on the inside. Yeah, that's truth, because he's got a heart, a soft heart on the inside, but he's got that toughness on the outside that I've got to do this. And he says, and he always preferenced it with, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I never believed that until I had to spank my own. Never did. Never bought into that until then. We have a heavenly Father who knows how to love you. 1 John tells us this. 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold, it says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He says, this is a marvelous thing, is it not? That God, our Father, loves us beyond, it's unconditional and it is charitable. He gives it to us freely because of who he is, not what we do. And he loves us so much that he'll correct us when we need it as well. That's the kind of love. He says, oh, this is almost unimaginable. That we should be called his child. What an amazing thing that we have in God. God cares about every detail of your life. He's invested too much in you to hold anything back. And so when your world begins to fall apart and crumble around you, remember God's unconditional, correcting, charitable love that he has for you will not fail. God loves you. Your heavenly Father loves you. What kind of father do you have? Your heavenly Father listens to you as well. How many of you have been there, though, to where you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and there was an illness or near death and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you thought, God's not listening. I can't hear God say anything. I don't know. Huh. Does he love me? Huh. Your heavenly Father listens to you. And so how many of you going up to your father, you know, sometimes we think of God this way, and you go up to your father, you know, and he's got on his phone, you know, and it used to be the paper, you know, had the paper up like this, you know, and it was at the coffee, you know, drinking coffee in the mornings, you know, and you go up and you're eating your cereal bowl, you know, and you begin to talk to dad, and the dad's going, I said, can I do it, dad? And he says, do what? And that nowadays it's the phone, you know, we're on the phone. Hold on just a minute, hold on. But God is not like that. God is not like that at all. And so verse 15 says, assures us that when we cry, Abba, Father, he listens to what we have to say. In fact, what we find here in Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Do you understand that every prayer that you pray, God hears? God hears. There is not one cry that you lift up to God that'll fall down on the throne room of heaven floor and not reach God. And it'll just lay there and collect dust. It doesn't happen. He hears. He pays attention to it. And not one tear that falls on your pillow at night goes unseen by God. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Understand that God loves you. He loves you enough to listen. To listen. The Father's love is a listening love. God is all ears, so to speak. Don't try to picture that. I did. And when it comes to the prayers and the pleas of his children, God listens to your prayer. God hears your and sees your heart. He sees and knows the troubles that's going on. Unlike the two men that were walking along one day, and one of them said, my wife talks to herself a lot. And his friend answered and said, mine does too, but she doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening. God the Father is listening. God listens to you. He pays attention to you and the cries of your heart. And so, how does he listen? Well, first of all, he listens to your spiritual needs as well. your spiritual needs. Matthew 6:13. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. And he prayed this. He taught them this. And he said, teach them to pray. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so that's when we pray, Lord, I've got this problem in my life. I've got this sin in my life. And Lord, this person is they're attacking. And I can't take this, the pressure anymore. And I've got to find some relief. God hears that prayer. And he goes to work in your life. He listens to every sin that you confess. He listens when we ask for that burden to be lifted. He does this because he loves you. He listens when you ask for wisdom as you study his word. He listens when you pray for the one that needs physical healing. And he's always there when you cry out for the boldness to share the gospel at times. Lord, I keep failing and I need to talk to this person about Christ before it's eternally too late. And the burden is there on your heart. What a comfort to know that God is never too busy. He's always listening to you and you. And you, all at the same time. And so he knows every temptation you face and every doubt. Know this, he knows. And he listens to your physical needs as well. Jesus went in back to Matthew 6 and he's teaching his disciples to pray. He says, give us this day our daily bread. God knows when you need a job. God knows when, and he hears you praying for the physical needs of life as well. And so he listens to the pleas when you ask him to heal your body and to restore your health, and he hears the request for a job. And God cares so much for you that he hears your heart's cry every time that you voice that. God is not too busy. He always listens. He may not always give us what we want, but he'll always meet your needs according to his will and in his time. All we have to do is trust him. We've got to trust him. You see, understand, that's when the time where faith comes in to strengthen you the most is when you're not hearing, you're not seeing. But know this, God is not busy over here working with somebody else and say, I'll get to you in a minute. God is saying, I need to do some work in your life. Just trust me. It's going to come about. I'm going to go to work. The timing, I need to work in your heart as well to strengthen your faith. We're going to allow this opportunity so that our relationship grows stronger together. That's usually what's going on. But God is listening. God hears. But we have to trust him. We've got to trust his heart that God loves me unconditionally. It's not because I did something wrong, but God is listening. He's hearing. And he's going to respond as just in his time and in his will as well. God loves you enough to listen. God the Father loves you. And then finally we see your Heavenly Father will lead you as well. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God as well. Your Heavenly Father knows your life from beginning to end and everything in between. And he has pledged to direct every step of your life along the way if you will follow after him. You make him your heart's desire. God will lead you in every step of your life. There'll be times when you won't know which way to go and the way won't be clear. Rest assured, the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, the one that keeps reminding you, you're a child of God. God is your Father. Go to him. Go to God. Go to him. He's there. He's waiting. He's listening. You're his child. You can do this, you know. And so the whole while, the Holy Spirit that dwells within you says, will lead us into the direction that he wants us to go. And the decisions that need to be made. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Is to commune with our spirit inside. He'll direct you. Notice what he says. He'll direct you to produce good deeds as well. If you're willing to follow after the Lord, he'll guide you. So that you're going to produce good fruit in your life. And so I skipped the whole point, didn't I? And so God will guide you through decisions. There's, we've got to back up a little bit there. Whether it be family related, work related, relationships, everything that touches your life. God wants to be your guide in life because He loves you. And because He, think about this, God the Father, who's all-powerful, omniscient, and so he's omnipresent, He's everywhere all at the same time, says, I want to lead you. I love you. Let me help you with this and with this decision that's coming in your life. And so, no, I got it. I got this one. This is a small one. No. God says, but I want to help be a part of this in your life. Why? Because God says, I know what's coming down the road. I know what you can't see that's coming, you see. That's God. And I know what needs to be removed from this situation. I know why this is a bad decision for you. And that's God. You have this relationship, and God is my Father. I'm His child. He loves me. He listens to me. And He will lead me if I will go to Him through decisions, but also to produce good deeds as well. Sometimes you may not see how, and the work may be hard and long, but trust Him. God wants to lead you. As you serve Him, don't hesitate. God says, I want you to do this and I want you to do that in the church and come over here and do this and trust Him. Don't hold back. Let Him lead you. Look ahead to the great things He's about to get you into. And God will supply His blessings in that as well. Produce great fruit. Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and kindness. And it's all of the, I don't know about you, but I like those things. God says, I can produce those things in your life. You see, not just for me to be selfish with an apple tree stands there. The apple tree doesn't eat its own fruit. Others pick from it as well. You see what kind of impact we can have on our loved ones around us as well? Not only can we enjoy the Spirit that dwells within us and the relationship we have with God, but others can now as well. As I'm following after Him, He'll produce this good work in my life. And that's the way that others then can experience this and say, "What? Why is you so different? Why is it always a joy to be around you?" You ever have anybody say that? Maybe because we're not letting the Lord lead us. You see, there's no fruit growing on your tree. And so God wants to produce fruit through all of His children. Ask yourself, am I hindering God? And then finally, He'll point the way through the difficulties of life as well. Look at verse 17. And if children, notice that He says, then heirs. You're an heir. You know what an heir is. You know, it's an inheritance that's going to be. And He says, heirs of God, an inheritance from God as well. Something that God is going to supply. And then He goes on to say then, as well, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Notice He says, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And the suffering that we may suffer with Him, and that is join in His suffering, His death on Calvary's cross here, that we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we too shall be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ because we are joint heirs with Him as well. There'll be times in your walk on this earth is difficult, so to speak. Sometimes it'll be straight up the mountain, the rocky mountainside that you wouldn't think a goat could climb. But that's the path that He may set before some of you before this year is out. Trust God to help you every step of the way. Don't ask Him to, God, you got to remove this. God, help me to, let's go back down and let's go around to get there. And He says, no, we're going to go this way. He says, because there's something I want you to see when you get to the top. So that you can see and look back and say, God, we did it. You did this in me to make this possible so that I could experience this. Don't go around. Enjoy that which God is leading you to experience. Sometimes it is very difficult. You don't think you're going to make it. But know this, wherever God leads you, God will feed you, provide for you the strength and the hope and the peace that's needed every step of the way. You've just got to trust Him that I am His child. He is my Father. He's leading me in this direction in life. And I'm not going to abandon Him. I'm going to hold His hand, and we're going to continue walking through this together. We have a Heavenly Father who knows how to lead you. We have the ideal Father. Our Heavenly Father knows what's best for your life. If God is your Father, that implies His authority over your life to guide you, does it not? Just as when you were growing up, Your father had the authority over you. No, you can't go there. No, you can't do that. It implies that he loves you and wants to spend time with you, and that the fact that you're not alone. Today we celebrate Father's Day. However, because our Heavenly Father is eternal, one day is not enough to honor him. Every day should be the Father's Day, should it not? Think about that. Fathers, dad, men, we're to imitate the Father. That is, we're to love our children. We're to love our grandchildren and discipline them and listen to them and lead them into decisions they need to make, especially in the decision to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then we need to lead them to live their lives to the fullest, getting to know Jesus more and more each and every day by setting the example before them, by encouraging them as well to read, or us read Scripture to them as well, helping them to learn how to pray as well. Can you say that I am a child of God? God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Jesus is my Savior. And Christians are my brothers and sisters in Christ. What a Father's Day. What a Father's Day today. Let me ask you this. On the Father's Day, do you understand your position that you have in Him? That I am His child. He is my Father. You look forward to meeting Him in His Word on a daily basis. Verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption." Do you understand that? Adoption. God chose you to receive His forgiveness, His love, into His family. You know, in adoption, you know, it's got, and well, I don't want to go too far with that. And so, but God, we're part of His family, okay? And ask yourself, do I love to spend time with Him? Do I love to spend time with His children? You say, well, I don't like sister so-and-so. You know, well, listen to me this, okay? Because if she's part of the family of God, and you're part of the family of God, and when you go to spend eternity in heaven, guess what? Who's going to be there? Yeah, they're going to be there, so you might as well get used to them now. You might as well get along now, okay? And so ask yourself, am I like my Father? Am I speaking of my Father? In other words, do others hear me say, this is my Father, you see? And I'm excited to tell others that God is my Father. He is my Dad. Not to mean any irreverence there. If you're here today and you can't say that God is your Father, Jesus said there's only one way for God to be your Father. He said that was through Him. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not a child of God, you've not been born into His family, today's the day to do that. Oh, what a day. What a gift that would be to give God the Father your life this day. Stand with us as we have a hymn of invitation. You're here today and you just want to come and pour your heart out to your Heavenly Father.